My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Badatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Mark Moss Show, where we talk about the world changing right before our very eyes through what I'm calling the decentralized revolution. Three converging forces changing the world. Of course, those are politics, finance, and technology. And of course, the technology is the biggest piece. We're talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, because as we go back through thousands of years of history, it's always the technology that changes the world. And while changes happen over decades, a lot of times when you're looking at it so close, you don't really see the changes. But if you zoom in, you can see them all around. And that's exactly what I'm doing today, trying to bring to you the best education, the most up-to-date news, and some interesting people to hear from so you don't have to listen to me all the time. So you can get some different perspectives. But there is so much news going on. And the big thing that's going on really in the Bitcoin crypto space is, let's call it the Great Unwind. Maybe I just made that up. I don't know if I've heard that before. The Great Unwind, but that's exactly what's happening. The leverage, and that's the key word, leverage that's been built up in the system is now deleveraging. Went from leverage to deleverage. Now, leverage is a tool. I like to say that leverage is like a leverage is like fire. So leverage could leverage like fire. Fire could be used to warm my house in the winter. That could save my life. Or it could burn my whole house down. And that's sort of like what we're seeing. So we could call it a double-edged sword. It can cut my enemy. It can cut me. I have to be careful with it. And so that's what leverage is. Now, leverage helps us to grow faster. That's the positive benefits of leverage. And then it tears us down faster. So a couple examples of this would be let's say that my business is booming because the Fed printed a bunch of money and I have way more customers than I ever had before. More people want to fill in the blank, whatever kind of business. Let's say I'm a home service-based business. So people want to remodel their homes. They want to buy new mini blinds, put jacuzzis in, remodel their bathrooms, whatever, fill in the blank, XYZ. And so, shoot, man, I'm booked out. I can't get to appointments fast enough. I hire new people. I have to buy new trucks. I get a couple new trucks to get the new people in. They're going out there. I got to buy new equipment to get these things built and serviced and installed. Business is booming. It's never been better. And in order to grow faster, to keep up with that demand, I would use leverage. The leverage would be credit. So now I'm borrowing money. I'm using credit lines. I'm using leverage to buy those trucks, to buy that equipment. And of course, it's great because all this new business is making up way more than what those payments are on those trucks or that new office or that equipment that I had to buy. So, you know, I bought a new machine. It's $100,000. My payment's whatever, $500 a month, but it's making me $5,000 a month. So it's like, heck, I'll pay $500 a month in debt to get the $5,000 a month it's making me. That's great. And so that leverage, that debt allows me to grow really fast and keep up with that. But the problem is when the market shuts off and my phone's not ringing and I'm not getting new customers and that machine's not running, how do I afford to pay for all that debt? And just as fast as it built up, it gets wiped out. All the debt just evaporates and clears out. And that's exactly what's happening in all the markets, in the stock markets, in the housing markets. But it's specifically been really, really painful in the cryptocurrency markets. We've been talking about this for several weeks now. And really, we went super deep when we saw Terra Luna meltdown. Terra Luna was supposed to be a stable coin. I'm not going to go super deep into this. I've already broken this down. You can go check out Mark Moss podcast, Mark Moss iHeart, Mark Moss podcast, and you can find all my back issues. So dig back a couple weeks, just go through, you'll see where I talked about Terra Luna. I broke down the mechanism, how it worked, how they used leverage to build it up, how it was like a Ponzi, and how it unwinds. But the problem is, as Terra Luna unwound, which was about a $60 billion valuation at the time. Now, to put that into perspective, you remember the great financial crash, you know, 2008, the great financial crash, you know, when the entire global banking system was basically crashing at the same time. Well, if you remember that, there was a spark that really led to that. Of course, that was Lehman Brothers. Lehman Brothers went bankrupt. And Lehman Brothers was worth about $60 billion at the time. So we're talking about the same magnitude. And what happened when Lehman Brothers went down, all the other banks that were caught up with that, had loaned money there, were also caught up, and then they started coming down because of the leverage. And that's the collateral. So they loaned money. They had it on their books as an asset. When that money got written off, then that collateral was no good. So they got margin calls. So they had to post more collateral. That went down, and it triggers a domino effect. And that's exactly what happened with Terra Luna. And so we've been covering this each week, right? So then we saw Terra Luna go down, and then it was like Celsius is going down. And then we talked about like Three Arrows Capital starts going down. And it's the great unwind. That's what we're dealing with. And it's all because of leverage. Now, we're still processing through this. But this is probably, you know, obviously a lot of this, the great unwind was kicked off, was ignited because the Fed is trying to do a great unwind. So the Fed, the Federal Reserve of the United States, is the greatest. They're the producer of the leverage, right? That's where it comes from. They print money. They print trillions of dollars and put it into the system, which causes the housing market to boom, for example. And then they drop interest rates to zero. So you go borrow a bunch of money. You use a bunch of leverage. That's what creates the booms. They print the money. They lower the interest rates. You go use that leverage they've provided to you. But then they decide when to suck it right back out. They decide when to shut the music off. So then they stop putting money into the economy, and then they raise the rates on you. And so that's what started this great unwind. That started, was it November of last year? The Fed said they were going to start raising rates. They're going to start letting assets roll off their books. They weren't going to pump money out through quantitative easing anymore. And so since then, we've seen the cryptocurrency markets really start to unwind. Now, the cryptocurrency markets seem to lead the rest of the financial markets. So I think that Bitcoin specifically and crypto overall really is kind of this canary in the coal mine where it unwound way faster. So Bitcoin started rolling over really quick. It started selling off. Much before the traditional financial markets did. So the Fed kicked it off. But then as the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency markets capped started falling, then that's when the Terra Luna got into trouble. It worked really well when Bitcoin was going up in value, but when Bitcoin went down in value, Terra Luna got into trouble. When Terra Luna got into trouble, then Celsius got into trouble, et cetera. So here we are dealing with this, and it's been a massive drag on the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency space because it's basically causing massive liquidations, meaning they're being forced to sell huge amounts or pretty much all, everything they have, huge amounts of Bitcoin and Ethereum, et cetera, onto the markets at the right time, at the exact same time. So supply and demand, if you have more Bitcoin being sold or more crypto being sold than there are buyers for it, the price will come down. And so right now, with the markets, all the markets crashing, the entire, you know, from real estate to stock markets to you name it, down. Crypto, of course, is way down. But then you have to dump all of this on the market. There's not people to buy it. So what happens to the price? Of course, it comes down. Pretty easy to understand. So I think it's been, the canary in the coal mine. I think it happened first. And I would think we'd be maybe at about the bottom about now. But man, the hits just keep on coming. So let's talk about some of those hits that keep on coming. So, like I said, Terra Luna is done. That's over. Celsius, what's going on with Celsius? So, as I've said before, maybe there's a chance you get some of your money back from Celsius if you're really lucky. They are working with, bankruptcy attorneys right now to try to wind this down. There's potential that you might get some money back. I wouldn't hold your breath over it. But we saw this week FTX exchange that has basically come in to kind of be like the Fed. They're like backstopping all these crypto institutions. They looked at Celsius and they made some shocking claims that you may not like. I want to tell you what that is. But they also stepped in to backstop another really big, actually two really big other crypto companies that are getting hit. And you won't believe the deal they made for this. I mean, it is insane. I guess this is what you get in a bear market. Maybe you can follow FTX's lead. I'll tell you what that is, what they said about Celsius. I'm going to tell you about the other deals they've just made. And I got a whole lot more coming up. You're listening to The Mark Maugh Show, talking, of course, about the decentralized revolution, talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and breaking down the play-by-play so you can take advantage of it. I'll be back with all that and more in a minute. Don't go away. All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Maugh Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution, the world that's changing before our very eyes, being led by the catalyst of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. We're talking about the Great Unwind, which is the leverage in the system melting down. I went through that. I'm not going to go back through that again. But I was saying that FTX, which is led by Sam Bankman-Fried, he's kind of stepped up to become like the Federal Reserve, a backstop. The Federal Reserve is the backstop for the banks. So previous to the Federal Reserve in the late 1800s in the United States, we had an era known as free banking. And you'd have all these different banks popping up, and each bank would have their own currency, and they're going bust all the time. And so the Federal Reserve was created to say, hey, we'll backstop these banks. So if they go bust, all the people that had their money there don't lose it all. We'll come in and we'll backstop them. Now, that's a whole different story. I'm not going to get super deep into that. FTX is doing something similar where now they're coming and they're backstopping a lot of these companies going down. So Celsius, they were potentially going to do a deal with Celsius to backstop it, to maybe at least help some of the investors get their money back or something like that. And we saw this week that FTX passed on a deal to purchase Celsius due to a deficient balance sheet. What does that mean, deficient balance sheet? Well, They didn't like what they saw when they pulled back the covers. It says FTX passed on a deal to purchase beleaguered crypto lender Celsius, but walked away on account of a $2 billion hole in the lender's balance sheet. A $2 billion hole. Where did that $2 billion go? Well, a lot of it was just wiped out in market cap. There's rumors that potentially the founder of Celsius, Alex Mashinsky, might have been siphoning money away. I don't know if I want to feed into these allegations because I don't really have any proof on it right now. But we do know that FTX is backstopping a lot of companies. I'm going to go through a couple of them right now. But it doesn't look like they're going to do it with Celsius. They walked away because of a $2 billion hole. So again, if you have money there, there's a chance you might get some back. Now, I think the way that I've been understanding this is there's two ways you could hold money on Celsius. One, you could have it with a loan, you could have it earning yield, or they could just be doing custody. If you're only having money as custody, then I think you might have a better than average chance of, well, you'd get the money first. If there's any money to go to anybody, I think you'll get the money there first. And then if you have money in the yield products and the lend products, then I think you're an unsecured creditor, and you'll probably be last to get any money if there's any money left. Now, there's not going to be enough money to go around for everybody, so the chance of getting money into those is probably going to be slim, if not more than a few pennies on the dollar. So we'll see. We'll see. But we know that, unfortunately, FTX walked away because of a $2 billion hole. But that's not the same for everybody. Now, FTX actually has been talking to multiple companies, one of which is another company called BlockFi. And so BlockFi is maybe one of the other really big companies in the United States that was offering the same sort of products as Celsius. Both, you could give them your Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies, and they'd give you a yield on it. They'd give you interest, 4%, 8%, something like that. Now, a lot of people used to ask me about these, and I would always tell them the same thing. Look, as a real investor, we want something known as asymmetric opportunities. Asymmetric means, symmetric would mean it's the same on both. It means it's the same upside, same downside. I want asymmetric opportunities. I want something that has way more upside than it has downside. So with Bitcoin today, I'm not going to go through the math, but I believe Bitcoin has an 80x upside. It can go up 80 times pretty easily, in my opinion, but it could go down to zero. So it has a 1x downside. It could go to zero, 1x down with an 80x up. See how it's asymmetric? I like that. But unfortunately, when you're using platforms like Celsius or BlockFi or whatever, it was the opposite, because now I had 100% risk, as we're finding out. Celsius, you may not get your money back. I had 100% risk to make 4% or 8% or 8, whatever it is. So I'm risking 100 to make 8. So I don't like those odds. I want it the other way. I want to risk 8 to make 100, not risk 100 to make 8. And that's exactly why I haven't been a big fan of those products. And here we are. BlockFi is in the same boat. Again, caught up in the great unwind, too much leverage tied together. But after weeks and weeks and weeks of deliberation, it looks like there's a deal that actually is going to happen for BlockFi. So good news if you have money trapped on BlockFi. It looks like the deal that FTX worked out with BlockFi is going to buy them out at a 99% discount to their last money raise. So companies like BlockFi, they raise money. I pull up the exact amount. So, you know, these companies, they raise money. And as they go up in value, they continue to raise money, but at a higher valuation, which is exactly what happened. So FTX has agreed to provide $250 million emergency credit line to BlockFi, but at a very, very reduced valuation. So it says FTX is expected to pay roughly $25 million, one source said, which is 99% below BlockFi's last private valuation, which was valued at $4.8 billion. So BlockFi recently raised money. They raised it at a $4.8 billion valuation. And today, FTX is going to buy it for $25 million, which is 99% off of what their last round was at. So that's a big discount. Now, why would they do that? Well, it appears that what's happened is BlockFi agreed to maybe sacrifice themselves and all the investors so that the people that the customers of BlockFi, the people that have money on BlockFi, could maybe get some of that money back. Other deals that they had potentially looked at, according to sources, were trying to keep the equity of the investors in place, but sacrifice customer deposits. But the rumors say that FTX said, no. We're going to help the customers who have deposits, but all the investors, they invested into a bad company and they're out. Now, look, a lot of people in the Bitcoin space are happy about this, and we told you so, you never should have done that. I would never take joy in watching somebody else have pain. I'm not going to take any joy in that. You know, these investors, a lot of them thought they were making good investments. But in a situation like this, when the markets crash, I mean, everything goes down. They made bad choices. I'm guessing most of them were pretty, I know some of the top guys were very experienced investors. I'm sure they didn't allocate more than they could afford to lose. I'm sure most of them aren't going to be tanked. So maybe having the investors lose the money and having the money accrue to the customers is the best source. I'd love to know what you think. Of course, get at me on social media, just @1MarkMoss. It's the number one Mark Moss. hit me up and let me know what you think about that. But this is just a drop in the bucket. There's even bigger ones happening. As a matter of fact, the next one I'm going to talk about is an even bigger liquidation, which is then going into potentially the biggest one in the entire Bitcoin cryptocurrency market space. And it could be bad for the short-term price. I'm going to talk about that and more in a minute. You're listening to The Mark Maas Show, talking about Bitcoin cryptocurrencies, talking about the decentralized revolution, talking about the great unwind, what's happening, how you can observe it, navigate it if you're caught up in it, and know what to expect next. So I'm going to cover all that and more when I get back in a minute, so don't go away. All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Maas Show, and we're talking about the decentralized revolution. We are talking about the way the world is changing. Right before our very eyes, of course, being led through Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, through technology, looking at politics, finance, and technology to understand what the heck is going on, what's up with these prices of gasoline and food, why are the markets dropping, and right now we're talking about what is going on with the cryptocurrency and Bitcoin space. And I'm calling it I've been calling it the great liquidation, the great unwind. And so I was talking about how this leverage, all this leverage that built up in the system that allowed it to grow really fast is now unwinding, and that leverage is now causing it to crash equally as fast. So we're talking about how FTX is kind of like the Fed, acting as similar to a Fed, where they are the lender of last resort. They're backstopping some of these companies that are going down. They looked at Celsius. They said, heck no. There's a $2 billion hole. We don't want to dump our money into a $2 billion hole. I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to lose $2 billion if I had it. I don't want to lose $2, much less $2 billion. So they said no to that. But they did say yes to BlockFi. So it looks like they are helping out BlockFi. So good news, bad news, depending on where you have your money, if you have any money at all. And what's next? So now there's another one, crypto exchange CoinFlex. CoinFlex has paused withdrawals, so now they won't let you get your money off of there. Mark Lamb, the CEO of CoinFlex, said that withdrawals will probably not restart as they had originally hoped. To fix the $47 million hole, much better than the $2 billion on Celsius, $47 million hole on CoinFlex's balance sheet, the company is issuing a token called Recovery Value USD, and enticing investors with a 20% interest rate. Now that sounds just like the problem that caused all of this in the first place. So it started with Terra Luna. And Terra Luna was a stablecoin that offered you a 20% rate. And what is CoinFlex proposing? They're proposing to create something called Recovery Value USD, and entice, which is a stablecoin that they're going to create out of thin air, and they're going to pay you a 20% interest rate on that. One, I'm not sure, well, a couple things. One, I'm not sure how the heck they're allowed to do that. You would think the SEC would step in and go, wait a minute, this is insane. You can't do the exact same thing that caused the whole problem in the first place. That's one. Two, I can't believe that they would even try. I mean, who the heck is this Mark Lamb CEO? What does he think he's doing? Wouldn't you think he would have learned and he wouldn't even try? And third, I can't believe people would fall for it. And, you know, I said in the previous segment, I don't get any joy. As a matter of fact, I feel really bad for people that are getting wiped out here. I have no joy in seeing people get taken down. But part of me, I tweeted out last night, well, I'll pull up the tweet. I said, part of me feels that they're getting what they deserve. And I know that's the wrong thing. Not getting what they deserve. Maybe getting what they deserve. I tweeted out last night. I said, the age of personal responsibility is snapping back hard. The age of personal responsibility. Now, to have freedom, we have to have responsibility. But the problem is today is nobody wants to take responsibility for themselves. And so I feel really bad for people caught up in these situations. But they need to be responsible for themselves. If you're going to put money into something, you should sure as heck learn what that is. You should sure as heck be paying attention to what's going on. And if you don't, understand what it is, then you shouldn't put money in there. If you do put money in there and you're not paying attention, that's on you. And I don't, I, I know that may sound a little harsh, but to the point of this tweet, the age of personal responsibility is snapping back hard. And this is happening in the financial system. And so we're seeing people getting wiped out. They didn't take personal responsibility. They see the warning signs that are out there. And so if this guy, the CEO, Mark Lamb, wants to create a new stablecoin and pay people 20% interest, the same thing that caused the other crash, and people are willing to go along with it, then maybe they deserve to deal with whatever happens from that. I hope they don't lose, but sure as heck gonna take a lot of risk that I wouldn't want to deal with. Now, they're saying that CoinFlex is saying that a big hole is caused by Roger Ver, who was previously known, maybe still is, as Bitcoin Jesus. He was very early in the Bitcoin space. He was Bitcoin Jesus because he tried to evangelize everybody about Bitcoin. At one point, I believe he had over 400,000 Bitcoin. Over 400,000 Bitcoin, which would make him, at one point, you know, one of the richest people alive. I think, so let's see, 400,000 times, even at $20,000 that it's at right around now. My calculator doesn't even go that high. I can't even tell you how much that is. It's a lot. He had a lot. But now, you know, he bet on Bitcoin Cash. He tried to crash Bitcoin and go to Bitcoin Cash. He lost money. And now supposedly there's a $47 million debt that he owes. He says he doesn't. They say he does. Airing dirty laundry. I'm not going to dig into that. I don't really care. But the point is of this is that it says here that CoinFlex has this hole. And it says to fix this $47 million hole in CoinFlex's balance sheet, which is supposedly caused because of Roger Ver not paying his bill. And again, I'm not digging into that. But doesn't matter. There's a hole, $47 million. And in order to fix that, the company is going to issue this token, the Recovery Value USD, a stablecoin, and it's going to entice investors to give them money with a 20% interest rate for holding the virtual currency. The CEO, Mark Lamb, says that the ability to pay that interest would come from recouping the funds from Roger Ver, plus a financing charge that has been imposed on him. Lamb says, quote, "We don't know what's going to happen after, if he doesn't repay or if he does repay. Our focus right now is on getting these funds raised," end quote. So supposedly, Roger Ver owes money, $47 million, supposedly. I don't know the details. I don't know if he does or doesn't. But suppose he does, that's a hole. So they're going to sell you a stable coin to try to raise money to fill that hole in a company that's basically insolvent, bankrupt. They're going to try to raise $47 million from people by paying them 20% interest, and they're going to supposedly be able to pay them that 20% interest by charging a financing charge to Roger Ver, who already won't pay the money in the first place. So pro tip here, never loan money to somebody that you don't know and don't know if they can pay you back. So I don't know Roger Ver. I don't know the situation here. And he's obviously not paying, and so why would he pay later? Why would I loan money to them in hopes of maybe making 20%, I would have to be a complete idiot to do that. And it's almost criminal. I don't know, man. You know, I hate throwing that around, but the CEO says, quote, "We don't know what's going to happen after if he doesn't repay or if he does repay. We don't know if he's going to repay. How can he, in any good consciousness and even legally, how can he go to get $47 million from people like you and I in the hopes of maybe getting money back from somebody that he may or may not be owed from? And he says in his own words, we don't know if he's going to repay. How can he do that in good consciousness? How can he do that legally? I mean, it's just insane. And so that's why I say if anybody gives them money for this, I don't want anyone to lose money, which is why I'm trying to warn you. But I have to just feel like it's on them, man. Back to my tweet from last night when I was reading this stuff and I was looking at this, you know, the age of personal responsibility is snapping back hard. By the way, if you're not following me on Twitter, what the heck are you even doing? That one got about 30,000 impressions. I put out a couple good things here and there. Follow me on Twitter, @1MarkMoss. That's just the number one, Mark Moss. Let's see. I got more talk about liquidations. There's two more big ones, and as a matter of fact, it's the biggest one. The biggest one that my guest actually last week, Mike Alfred, said that wasn't going to happen because they were so big, and yet here we are. I'm going to break that down and more in a minute. You're listening to The Mark Maugh Show, talking about the decentralized revolution, talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, talking about the way the world is changing before our very eyes. I got a lot more to cover in a minute. Don't go away. All right, welcome back. You're listening to The Mark Maugh Show, taking you through step by step, walking you through the decentralized revolution, the way the world is changing before our very eyes. If you zoom out, you can see it. And if you zoom all the way in and look at this incremental steps, you can see it as well. Of course, we're talking about the way the world is changing with Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. And we're looking at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology, the way it's changing all of those things before our very eyes. We've been talking about the Great Unwind. The Great Unwind, of course, the Federal Reserve, they create every boom and bust that we have. It's insane that we allow a group of people to control our money and create booms and busts on us. It's absolutely insane that we allow this to happen. It's insane that it happens in the first place. It's even more insane that we're allowed to make it happen. Of course, Henry Ford, the father of the automobile, told us over 100 years ago, he said, quote, "If the American people knew how the financial system worked, there'd be a revolution before the morning." That means before the morning, like right away, instantly. So of course, it's probably no surprise that's why we don't learn about the financial system in schools. We don't hear about it. We don't talk about it. But the Federal Reserve is responsible for every boom and bust that we have. They put money in. Things go really good. We're buying houses. We're buying cars. We're expanding our business. And then they suck the money back out, and then everything crashes. So they started this, you know, November last year. They started, said they're going to start raising rates. They're going to start letting go from quantitative easing, increase the money supply, to quantitative tightening, tightening the monetary supply. So of course things started crashing. Bitcoin starts going down, and it's just this great unwind because of all the leverage. So Terra Luna, Celsius, we went through all these. I've been going through them each and every week. Now CoinFlex, but now it's getting big. Now it's getting serious. So now I've been talking about for a couple weeks this Three Arrows Capital, 3AC, and they're probably going to default, and here we are. So this week, we see that crypto hedge fund just defaulted on a $670 million loan. So the Three Arrows Capital defaulted on that. Digital asset broker Voyager Digital issued a notice on Monday morning stating that the fund failed to repay a loan of $350 million in U.S. dollar pegged stablecoin. Another 15,250 Bitcoin worth $323 million at today's prices. So what happens is Three Arrows Capital defaulted on that $670 million to Voyager. But I bet that Voyager needed that money. And so now Voyager doesn't have the money they need to pay their bills, but more importantly, to meet their margin requirements, which means now they default on a bill to somebody else. You see how that works? That's why this is the Great Unwind. It's just a domino, one after another, starting with the small ones and working its way up. We can see digital asset brokerage Voyager Digital issued a notice on Monday morning saying the fund failed to repay them. 3AC's solvency crunch comes after weeks of turmoil. I've been talking about it for weeks here, which has erased hundreds of billions of dollars in value. Voyager said it intends to pursue recovery from 3AC in the interim. Yeah, good luck. My parents told me when I was a kid, you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip, right? That old saying. And so, yeah, sure, go get your money from them if you could. But the problem is they can't. Now, as of Friday, Voyager said it had approximately $137 million in U.S. dollars in owned crypto assets. The company also noted that it has access to a $200 million cash and USDC revolver credit line, as well as 15,000 Bitcoin worth $318 million, a revolver from Alameda Ventures. Now, who's Alameda Ventures? Who the heck are these people that are loaning money to everyone? Well, Alameda Ventures is owned by FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried. It's his quantitative trading firm. So Sam Bankman-Fried has Alameda and he has FTX, and he's the one, as we've been talking about, that's backstopping all these institutions. And so they've given Voyager credit lines. Now, the one thing, I have no exposure to Voyager or BlockFi that FTX and Alameda are stepping into. But if I did, one thing that would probably give me a little bit of comfort is that once they come in and, you know, put up the $250 million, or here we have $500 million that they've given to Voyager, they probably, like, they looked at Celsius and said, heck no, $2 billion hole, we're done with that. But they will give $500 million to Voyager. So I'm guessing they liked what they saw with Voyager. I'm guessing once they put $500 million in, they are probably not going to let that go away. So if they need to put more money in, they probably will. So it probably gives me a little bit of air of confidence there. I don't have any money in Voyager or BlockFi. But if I did and it was locked, maybe I would feel a little bit better that they probably won't let it go down. It says Voyager has already pulled $75 million from that line of credit. But how did 3AC, how did Three Arrows Capital get there? Well, it had a lot of exposure to Terra Luna, obviously, right? And then it had exposure to BlockFi, right? And so you see how that trickles down. Now for the big one. So I had a guest on last week, Mike Alfred. We were talking about this. Go search Mark Moss podcast or Mark Moss iHeart to find that podcast. It was a good conversation with Mike Alfred, an insider that kind of knows the inner workings of this stuff. So if you want a little bit more insight into this, it was a really good conversation. Go check that out. But I asked about a company called Genesis, and Genesis is the big dog. That's the biggest dog in the space. Genesis is owned by Barry Silbert, which also owns CoinDesk or DCG, Digital Currency Group. And so they're the big one, right? They're the best. And he said, oh no, you know, they're so big, they're so liquid, their credit's so tight, you know, they're not going to get caught up in this, but here we are. So on CoinDesk, the news site, which, of course is owned by the same people, it says that Genesis faces hundreds of millions in losses as Three Arrows Capital exposure swamps crypto lenders. It says that the trading colossus is said to have suffered a nine-figure losses, partly through exposure to Three Arrows Capital and Babel Finance. We haven't heard about Babel. So nine figures. So let's see. Seven figures is a million. Eight figures is 10 million. And nine figures is 100 million plus. Here it says hundreds of millions, as in plural hundreds. Cryptocurrency market maker and lending firm Genesis Trading is facing potential losses in the hundreds of millions, in part to exposure to over-leveraged hedge fund Three Arrows Capital and Hong Kong-based crypto lender Babel Finance in the order of a few hundred million dollars. It says the precise tally of Genesis losses may not be known for some time because the company is seeking at least partial repayment from its counterparties, and some of the losses may have been offset by hedging. So we don't really know how deep these holes are right now. It says a cascade of liquidations at many different crypto lending and trading platforms has followed the high-profile unraveling of crypto firms such as Terraforma Labs, Terra Luna, Celsius, and Three Arrows Capital. So this is all domino affecting down. Now, you know, according to Mike Alfred, who I had on last week, you know, Genesis is so big, so large, they're probably going to be okay. It says Genesis originated over $44.3 billion in loans in the first quarter of 2022. So 44.3, that's what they generated just the first quarter of this year, $44 billion. It's rumored to have a war chest of about $1 billion. DCG, their parent group, is about to have a war chest of $1 billion that can help Genesis buffer any kind of shock. So, you know, I don't know if it's going to go down. That doesn't affect me. But what it does affect me, and it affects you, is that as this continues to go down, these massive forced liquidations, when these companies are forced to liquidate 15,000 Bitcoin at one time, the market, there's just not enough buyers to absorb 15,000 Bitcoin at one time. And so that pushes the price down. And so while I think we've seen the worst of Bitcoin selling, we really don't know. Because we don't know how big these holes are. And this is a danger to everybody in the space. And we're just going to have to see how this plays out. Of course, I'm going to keep you up to date on it as it goes step by step by step. So hopefully you can see the contagion that's happening. We're going to continue to monitor the situation, keep you up to date on it. We're going to keep our eye on the Federal Reserve because they're the ones that have caused this thing in the first place, when they might pivot and ease some of this pressure off of the markets and the cryptocurrency markets. You'll be the first to know if you listen to the Mark Moss Show on a regular basis. That's what I got for you today. All right. Thanks for listening.